You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, what's up, After Buzzers? Welcome to the after show for TNT's Animal Kingdom. We got a great show tonight and a special guest in studio, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
How do you want me?
So dark.
Brooding.
Super dark.
Overdoses. Violence. Tatted up dudes walking around
drugs.
The kitchen with their shirts off. It's just dark.
That is right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the after show for Animal Kingdom. I'm your host, Alina Vision. You can find me on all social media at Alina Vision. And I'm going to introduce our special guest first. You know her as Ren Randall on the show. She is a smart girl, beautiful, gorgeous, and talented. It's Christina Ochoa.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and where can the people find you on the interwebs?
On my Instagram, I'm Ochoa Christina, and on Twitter, I'm Christina _ Ochoa. I know I failed at that.
It happens. And, of course, I'm joined by my lovely co-host. To my left, I have...
Hey, guys. Leslie Ambrose here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time.
What's up, guys? My name is Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. And we did an extended interview with Christina, so if you like hear stuff about the show and you're like, I want to know all about Christina, there's a cool interview you can find a spotlight on with her that AfterBuzz TV has hosted. So
nice.
We'll try to stay show-centric. Mm-hmm. But she plays Magic the Gathering. Just I found that out. If you want to hear
His
more about that, those are
okay.
Things that you can find out in the interview.
I love it. Well, it's so great to have you on. Your character had a lot going on.
This was a pretty intense episode for Ren. It was also the first one that we shot for my character.
Really?
Yeah, because we were doing block shooting and it's all location based.
Mm-hmm.
So Ren's house and the hospital just so happened to be some of the first locations. So Ben and I met and immediately started doing the scenes from this episode first.
Wow.
Nice introduction.
Yeah,
definitely.
Especially the first scene.
Yes, that is one of many that we ended up doing together.
Well, that is awesome. Let's talk about the whole Craig and Ren situation,
the
combination.
Dynamic.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, we see you OD, or your character
mm-hmm.
OD. And Craig goes and steals all your stuff. I mean,
he's
what a
such
winner.
A catch.
Yeah.
Such
you pick him
good. Exactly. He panics and our relationship kind of shifts and whatever throughout the show, but we've been hooking up basically. We've been in this weird relationship since we were in high school. And, I think that underlying it, there is a really good connection, and it is a love story of sorts. But Craig is Craig. Craig is who he is. And given the opportunity, thinking that I am dead, he takes my stash.
Yeah. What a winner.
Man.
What a guy.
I felt so sad for your character when she was in the hospital bed.
Oh,
she was
that
like,
was
you're going to hurt him. I was like, oh,
sweetie. Goes to show. I mean, you know how much I actually trust this son of a gun. I think that he's going to come rescue me in his, big white horse shining armor.
Yeah. Right, it was tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is about Craig is that, like, so they all have their dark side, every one of the characters,
mm-hmm.
or the guys at least on the show do. I think Ren seems like she has her dark side as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of seems to have, like, a little bit of, like, a heart of gold, I feel like,
uh-huh.
is what I felt like until this episode. He's, like, a big, big doofus, but, like, really lovable.
Yeah.
But then he was really just horrible in this episode. He just ripped, she was dead, and he ripped her off. He said, take all her, like, that's horrible.
Yeah, it is really, really dark. But at the same time, I mean, I'm biased, of course, so I feel like, but look, you know, he comes to the hospital, and he was trying to take care of her, and is holding her hand, and, you know, he's gonna, I don't know. maybe he fesses up, maybe he doesn't, maybe we find out it was him, maybe we don't. But at the same time, I feel like there's a sweetheart, like you said, there is a heart of gold down there. I mean, he also wears his dark side on his sleeve,
sure,
versus some of the other characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're better at hiding it. He's pretty much the volatile, you know, kind of visceral character, and he just doesn't know how to say no.
Right. Now, is this relationship with him, is it official boyfriend-girlfriend, or is it kind of hooking up, buddies?
Mm-hmm. It's official boyfriend-girlfriend, but okay. It's not exclusive. I think they, right, you know, that for them, yeah, it's about the competition, in a way. Mm-hmm. So they have a very competitive relationship, and I don't know how much, or at least that's the way we tried to play it, is where they outdo each other with the drugs, and they out-surf, yeah, each other, and they out... screw each other. Can I say screw? I was, yeah, going to say something, yeah, else. Yeah. I was like, yeah. You know, like they, but they also do that separately. So, you know, Craig is not the only guy that she is seeing, and Ren is not the only girl, as, you know, made evident by the, right, just the pilot, even,
oh, yeah,
that,
yeah,
right, he's going, right, to be seeing.
Craig's, yeah, a wild, exactly, man. He seems, yes, to definitely, he seems to be the womanizer of the group. I mean, I guess they, in their own ways, they're all kind, yeah, of,
yeah,
womanizers.
They all,
well,
kind,
no,
are.
Darren's definitely not a womanizer.
Oh, yeah.
He tries to be.
To, like,
he
cover it up, he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he, have,
yeah,
we actually, like, seen Darren with a girl?
No.
In front of anyone?
We've seen him slap a few butts and talk,
sure,
to some strippers, and that's,
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, some cash.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Like, he really tries to play that part, but.
Yeah.
And even if you notice, Smurf isn't as touchy-feely with him as she is with...
She probably knows.
Yeah, I think she knows.
I wouldn't doubt it. Mm-hmm. Nothing gets past
She's
that.
She's like,
woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if I had to guess at this stage in the show, Smurf,
right,
already knows some of it. And then I think that Darren, so Jake Weary's relationship with Spencer Clark, who plays Adrian, and we've already seen established in the last episode, I think that that's a really interesting relationship that we're going to get to see as well, that kind of explores,
yeah,
some of Darren's confusion.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more of that.
Spencer
too,
Clark,
right?
Who plays,
uh-huh,
the son,
oh,
in Gladiator,
curious,
for those of you that are curious.
Every week.
Well, look, it's just exciting. Okay?
It's a big highlight for Ben over there.
Yeah,
it
big
is.
One.
He picks his fun facts and then just throws them in.
Yeah,
about,
yeah,
it.
It's,
yeah,
just a big one.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I just felt terrible for her at the end of the episode, and also, you know, made me think a little less of Craig. But but so at least you're alive. That's a good thing. There was a
it
second
is,
there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I was surprised at one point when I was reading the script too. I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess this is how I go."
Right.
And you know, then Eitan Frankel, who wrote this episode, he does a brilliant job of giving the characters, all of them, a beginning, a middle, and an end, like a really nice arc in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So for Ren's character, for example, when we start off, finally Craig is healed from his bullet wound. He can finally perform, and he's back to being worth not surfing, I guess.
Right.
And so, you know, they're very alive, and they're very vibrant, and they're,
yeah,
having this crazy sex scene that, you know, is brilliantly shot, by the way, by our DP Lauren and Simon, the camera op, and they do a great job of capturing that. And then by the end of it, they're both kind of miserable, and she's in the hospital, and she's almost dead, and like covered in coconut oil and glycerin, and it's a great. I love the arcs that they're giving the characters.
Now, you said that's one of the first scenes that you guys shot.
Yes.
So obviously it's an intense scene to like. And had you met Ben though before?
Ben and I had met at the table read,
okay,
initially, and we had brief conversations about how we wanted to establish the relationship. What are we PDA? Are we in love? Are we not? What, you know,
right,
kind of,
oh, wow, okay,
those decisions.
Got it. And so you guys actually like know each other a little bit before you just like show up on set and they're like, all right, guys, shoot this scene.
Yes, barely. I mean, it was definitely like, hi, nice to meet you. So you're doing a line of coke off my ass today.
Right.
Hi. You know, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So it was definitely one of those scenes that you're just thrown into.
So it was kind of like that.
It was kind of like that. Yeah,
crazy.
It was definitely like that. And you know, but honestly, I couldn't have gotten luckier with a partner like Ben. He was comforting and professional and amazing from the get-go. Like, he had his shit together. Everything. Sorry, am I?
You're,
yeah,
fine.
Okay.
You're good.
Don't
worry.
He had his stuff together, and we had a very similar approach to the relationship coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... And, you know, whatever. It's like the two European characters. They're like two European actors. Like, go ahead. Go do whatever you need to do.
Yeah,
sure. Do you have to mentally prepare for that at all? Or you just go in kind of, okay, this is how it's going to happen. And boom.
You know what it is? I think that especially for this show, those scenes, and you see them. I mean, right now, I think that Craig and Ren's relationship is what exemplifies the sex portion of it. But there are other scenes that come that will come on the show that are of that intensity and that nature. They really do serve the characters. Okay. So it was a very easy choice and decision to be like, we want to make this the best we can. We want to come in and we want to give a performance during that scene. So it's not just kind of like, oh, put your hand here so that you can't see this and put your... And again, it's shot so well that you really don't have to worry about it in the moment. You just worry about connecting and having that chemistry. And
right, and I'm sure you're both professionals, so yeah, within 5 minutes, it's like we're just in this, doing this, and then right.
Yeah,
right.
How long does it take to shoot something like that that is so intricately, the blocking is so intricate, I'm sure?
There's no blocking.
There's no blocking in that scene? They're just like, you guys, just go for it.
There's, I think, you know, I might post this at some point. Like, it's written so well in the scene. It just says, like, a scene that would make Dionysus jealous. He's rough. She's rougher. He does a line of coke off her ass. She does it. Like, it's so well written. But then we get on set, and it wasn't choreographed, and it wasn't blocked. It was kind of like, you guys go do it. And it's up to us as professionals to choreograph it the same way you would with a fight, honestly, with like a fight scene where you'd be like, well, what about if I punch you here and then, you know, you grab my, it's the same thing, except the conversation is now like, well, what about if you grab my ass and I do, you know, that's the only difference. But again, that's why I say props to the camera op and the DP, because they do such a brilliant job of following the action without, you know, necessarily messing it up or like, you know,
getting too much.
Yeah, and without intruding, which is really important for those moments when you are trying to just connect with your partner in the scene. So they, yeah, kudos to them because they do an amazing job.
So what level, so like going forward now after she's in the bed and she's like, Craig, you need to avenge me, and he's like, oof. what level of like involvement in like the I don't know, crime goings on, like, is she ever going to cross over from being this one character that's just in this room with Craig to like actually at the house and she knows everybody? And
she knows the brothers and they know her. They know each other. I guess we'll have to wait and see if there's a crossover, or if, you know, that's something that they are keeping for future seasons or what's gonna happen.
I don't want to spill the beans.
There's so much, you know, but I think that right now it's just she's on a mission.
Yep.
You know, to find out who did this to her, or have Craig basically find out who did this to her and make them pay. So I think that that's where the next few episodes kind of like are going to center around.
Right.
Cool. And we get a little bit more of her in the next couple episodes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. I just want to know, how did you get involved with the project?
I auditioned just like a standard, you know, process, just like every other actor in L.A. I auditioned for a different part. Actually, I auditioned for the part of Lucy. Which I think we saw in episode 2 little bit, with, or 3 with Baz. And I auditioned for that part. And then, you know, I guess the writers and the casting director, and they thought I was more fitting for Ren. Also, you know, I think that they wanted somebody who was going to go through certain physicality and match with Ben Robson, so like who was tall, who was this, like all these different things came into play. And I auditioned, and the next day I auditioned for the different part. Like, I came in and read for Ren, and a week later I was doing this. It was a very fast process. I was at the table read with these incredible, wonderful actors.
So super quick.
Super quick.
Had you been a fan of, like, Speedman from Gilmore Girls or any of the other actors on the show?
I wasn't familiar with Scott's work. I was very familiar with Ellen's work, and with some of Sean's work as well. I recently got addicted to Peaky Blinders. Do you guys see that?
Which I haven't watched that. Finn is on.
God, it's so good. So Finn is on that. And I wasn't familiar with a lot of... I wasn't familiar with Ben's work either on Vikings. But they're all... They have such a great following because they're such good actors. And the environment on set is really impressive when it comes to that, because everyone is really in their zone.
Who's the biggest charmer? This is a question we asked our friend
Daniela.
Asked. Yeah.
Who's the biggest charmer?
Yeah, like, well, not in character.
Finn?
Is he?
I mean, just to take a... Yeah, probably Finn.
Yeah.
Finn, like, you know, Finn... Maybe it's just because it's so shocking, because he's so mature for such a young age. Yeah. And he's such a professional, and you don't expect that with someone his age.
Right.
You know, he walks on set, and he just has, like, a little swag to him that is really... I mean, but all of them. And they have those crazy British accents that I don't understand, but I think are charming, and, you know, they...
That'll get you, definitely.
They just, like, I'm like, can you do that in an American accent? It's just so I understand. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Right. What did Daniela say?
Oh, who is the most charming?
I think she might have also said Finn.
I think she...
No, I think she said Darren. I think she said there was something about Darren. Yeah.
So Jake?
Yeah, I think so.
Jake is amazing, and in his scenes, you see it, but he has this ability to almost throw away his lines and make them brilliant. Like, you never see an effort in his acting, ever. Yeah. And I know that this episode was a little lighter, but even in that moment where he's with Ellen, he holds his own, where he, like, slams the table today.
Yeah.
So that was all his own improv, just it wasn't in the script.
There's also another scene where he's improvising, where he says something like, I'll show you about paintball or something. That wasn't scripted. That's just, they're like, okay, just ramble on and talk, you know, to each other, and Ellen is walking by, and that's just them riffing off and saying different things.
So fun. I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Insane.
Let's talk about Pope and Jay.
Yeah, the bromance.
You were saying that there is a bromance, and I feel it brewing, too.
Yeah, I love it. I tweeted at Sean last week, and he liked my tweet about it. It was not a big deal.
You know.
I love it. I love the bromance. I saw it coming last week, and you guys were like, I think he's maybe using him. And, you know, admittedly, he might be. But the graveyard scene tonight made me feel like a little bit more like they're on the same team. It starts to make you feel actually more and more that of all of the brothers, that Pope feels like he is actually the best dude. He's just a little crazy. Like, he's just got problems.
Just a little bit.
But that, like, in reality, that maybe he is, in fact, the one who has, like, the best heart or something. But I don't know. That's like, what I'm starting to feel like when I watch.
I feel like that, especially after the graveyard scene. I don't know if he's the best brother yet. Still not quite sure
who
about
that.
Who
would you say is... I'm just curious. Like, who would you say is the best brother if you had to pick? What was the line that Ellen... that, like, Smurf says? Like, if you were on an island... Who would you pick? Which Cody boy would you pick?
For some reason, and it's not a Cody boy, I'd go with Baz. And I know, like, he kind of threw people underneath the bus tonight.
So hard.
He definitely played them out. But for some reason, I would trust him more than any of the other guys.
But you were talking the characters.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Not the actors.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
You're like, forget the looks, the characters.
Yeah. Pope, there's just something a little off, about obviously. Them. But I do like the relationship that's starting to sprout between him and
I don't
Jay.
Think it's going to last long, though.
You don't?
No.
Why is that?
I just there's so many instances where we see these characters just start to kind of get into a little bit of a great relationship, and then the minute we get comfortable with it, boom, somebody turns on the other person.
Right.
And I totally see that happening with Pope and Jay, whether that's he throws him under the bus for the watch with Nikki because he's the only other person that knows about it.
Yeah.
I kind of see that coming because, I mean, Pope obviously wants Nikki too, so.
Yeah, right.
He wants something.
And Nikki's probably 16, 17? 17. Something like that.
But age doesn't matter in this
show. Just saying. he's an ex-con and she's underage.
Teachers, grandmas, it don't matter.
Well, it's all good. Smurf is really grooming, if you notice, like, actually Nikki and Smurf have some really great scenes. It's almost like Smurf is starting to groom Nikki.
Yeah. Well, I've been predicting since the first episode that, like, my long-term prediction is that, like, Nikki gets, like, brought into the family. She gets, like, tossed around the guys and gets hooked on drugs. That's, like, what I think happens. And then Jake just has to just kind of watch. She's like, oh, no. Like, your life's being ruined.
Jay starts hooking up with his teacher.
Yeah, and the teacher
he'll
comes
around. He'll be too busy over there,
Oh, those Cody boys.
Yeah.
There's no telling what will happen with them.
Exactly. So let's talk about the confession.
Yeah, right?
Because that was huge.
What a jerk. I can't believe Baz. I can't believe him. That was, for me, and like, in no way do I, like, know how to navigate being a criminal and, like, when you keep your mouth shut. When do you keep your ass shut? Like, when do you snitch?
That's
but, like,
amazing.
Guys, I've watched a lot of TV. And, like, no, but I just couldn't believe you did it. How do you do that? How do you just, like, sell out your brothers like that?
To save yourself.
I could feel it coming.
It is called Animal Kingdom.
He doesn't even really save himself.
Survival of the fittest.
He kind of saves himself, but he kind of admits that he was, like, he knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. He's like, he snuck it through. Mm-hmm. I guess he doesn't say, we sold it to Ren, and I pocketed my half of the cash.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that, but, like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. I wasn't impressed.
Nah, things are going down for him, so he's going to throw anybody he can under.
Brandon Self says, how cool was the teacher, though? Yeah. she was.
So good. Ellen Rowe plays Miss Anderson. She's really, really brilliant, and we're going to see really great scenes between them.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, there's more.
Yay.
Is that a spoiler? Oh, no.
We kind of figured. she did invite him on a trip. So.
She did smoke his joy and then ask him on a date.
She's just really, I think she's, you know, her character is very well played, and as an actress, she does a brilliant job of kind of this teacher, this weird, it's all about that ambiguity, right? Mm-hmm. With the women on this show, it's always like you never know if they're good or bad, or if their, you know, self-interests are coming first, or if they're really genuinely connected to the guys, or... Yeah.
Or if they're crossing the line or mm-hmm. not.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't believe... Well, no, I definitely knew as soon as she walked up she was smoking a joint. Maybe like right when she walked up, I didn't know, but as soon as the joint got thrown down and she like picked it up, I was like, oh, she's definitely going to be lighting that joint in just a second.
And she sent Nikki away.
100%.
She does not like Nikki.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't.
She's like, that's my man.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's not, lady. Keep walking.
That's your student. That is your student. How far do you think that relationship is going to go?
I don't know, but I love
think
it.
I could see it's going to go all the way. It's going to go all the way.
It's like every
and
school boy.
And then Jay will be like, wait, what the hell am I doing? And that's it. Yeah, that's my prediction.
Or like, what if the teacher ends up over at the house and she's like, what's going on? Maybe the teacher is the one that gets hooked on smack and gets, not Nikki. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe they both do.
Maybe.
I don't know. The house turns into like a brothel or something.
That's their new business.
Yeah, crazy.
They're running low on cash, so
exactly. Got to do what you got to do.
Anything will work.
So let's talk about Pope and everyone at the strip club.
Yeah.
The birthday at the strip club.
That was a
weird, intense scene. And, I mean, he has a lot of those just weird scenes.
But this, was
but
the
this
next.
One, does it top last
one
week's?
Of the...
Because last week's with his mom when he's cuddling with his mom.
Yeah, this tops.
That was the weirdest for me.
Really? Yeah, I think that one was the weirdest for me, too.
Because that one was so suggestive, and he just gets in bed. And, like, you don't cuddle with your mom like that.
Not
you don't
at that
go big
age.
Spoon on your mom. But this is what I was afraid of was going to happen in the dressing room. Because I've seen over the years in movies and TV, like, in that moment when there's, like, the unassuming prostitute or stripper character who's, like, giving way too much credit to somebody who's clearly not right, then, like, the male takes out violence on that character.
Right,
That was, like, what I felt like they were setting up. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I was like, if they take Pope down that road, that feels really difficult to recover from. Like, that's not... Mm-hmm. It's way harder to see his character going forward as somebody that you kind of want to root for if he starts beating
a
woman.
As a redeeming quality,
right.
You mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's hard with stuff like that because they're all criminals and, like, yeah, they killed a cop, so we shouldn't really be rooting for any of them. Mm-hmm. But there's something different about it if it's just, like, he's just, like, she's there and she's like, your family gave me $1,000 to show you a good time on your birthday. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, beats her to death and be like, can't be on board with this guy at all
anymore.
But isn't
it actually creepier, almost, what he did do?
Yeah.
Well, definitely
it's
creepy.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, where is he traumatizing? Like, I can only imagine, like, the stripper who was played by Cameron Grimes, I think. Like, she came in and she was like, I remember her at the table read just being really stressed out and being like, man, this is twisted.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, that's definitely creepy, but, like, she's in the room willingly, knowingly going to have sex with this guy. Mm-hmm. So they had sex and he, like, said some really creepy stuff, which is awful, but not the same as he like beating her to death. I mean, not to say that I really root for Pope or the other. But like, one is like morally recoverable as like an audience member. Maybe I don't know. I'm gonna stop talking.
just stop. No, I mean, even for me watching it, like, I have a bad habit of like putting myself in character situations while I'm watching it. It's like even like you could seeing the. Her face of like, oh my god, what did I get myself into? When he touches her and she kind of cringes.
Right.
I was like, oh my god, he's gonna rape her. Like something weird's gonna happen, which I don't know if it'd be considered rape because it's a whole consent thing. But
right.
Off topic. It just scared me.
It was
really scared. Yeah.
But I think that
I thought it was gonna turn for worse.
They're showing Pope in like when he does hurt people for the most part, he doesn't want. He doesn't go around wanting to hurt people.
Right.
It's almost like he sees no other option. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, had they had him be violent or whatever, it just might not fit with the character.
Right.
Because Pope always just feels like he's put in those situations where he has no other way to go about. Like, he doesn't want to beat this guy up. And he doesn't know what he did, but he'll throw him off the boat because he's just like, I don't know. I don't know what else to do. Like,
right.
He, you know.
Right. Yeah, I wonder. He says to her, we can't. He says, say we can't. She says, and this is we can't, Andrew. So, like, and I guess I missed this. His name is Andrew, but
yeah,
we call him Pope.
Yeah, his name is Andrew.
So you're assuming that that's with Ellen Barkin is what he's
right.
having?
She's the only one that's right? called him Andrew
I think
Andrew
she's
so
the
far.
Only one that I've heard calling uh-huh. Andrew.
So if that's the case, and if that's something knows? That he's having her say...
She's got a look on her face.
Yeah, she knows. Then she maybe, knows. Maybe that's she giving us the me. Yes to what we thought happened
well,
last week.
Yeah, right. Or like, but like... I don't think that he's having her say something that happened, like, last week. I think that's, like, deep-seated, ooh, traumatic, uh-huh. emotional stuff from way back, probably. So that I'm thinking, what if this is, like, what pushed her in the weird, like, I like to have sex with my son's direction of the show? What if, like, what if her son at 17 forced himself on her or something like that, and then that creates this dynamic that, like, pushes everything in that direction? I don't know. I'm just
oh,
rambling
maybe.
Here.
He was the one that was having sex with his sister.
Oh.
Maybe that's it.
You think that he was having sex with Julia, maybe?
Yeah, maybe that's why she had to leave. I mean...
Maybe Smurf is not the only one who
exactly.
calls him Andrew.
Andrew.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
There's a hint right there.
I know it's not predictions
crazy.
Right now.
No,
but.
I could see that.
Yeah,
that the whole like main plot was kind of that was that love triangle that
exactly.
Jay sees on his bed.
Exactly. And nobody wants to talk about her. Uh-huh. Nobody wants to. He's the only one that really kind of acknowledges her, especially
right.
you know at the graveyard.
I don't think you could have like two like it would be very complicated story wise if you had like. Pope and Catherine being a thing that no one talks about that exists, and Pope and Julia being a thing that no one talks about that existed. I think that would be, I mean, I guess it's possible. It just seems like
right.
it'd be a lot of subtlety for the audience to
I
like,
think it would make more
on.
Sense, though, why there's such a tension between Baz and Pope. Because if it's just mm-hmm. some random girl that's been in their life for a long time, big deal. But then you add someone who's a sister, who is
right.
also Baz's half sister / girlfriend, lover. It's going to create more.
Well, so speaking of which, we saw the stuff on the uh-huh. bed at the beginning, right? When Jay was like, what is this? And is like Baz and Julia.
Right.
Or did it say B plus J? Is that
it
what it said?
It was Baz mm-hmm. plus, or B plus P plus J. So
yeah.
Baz, Pope, and Julia.
Got it.
A triangle. Love triangle.
There was yeah. three. I didn't even
yeah,
catch that.
Yeah, there was three. Yeah.
Mind blown.
On a bedpost. Dun, dun, dun.
All
that
three
Jay
together.
Was coincidentally
exactly.
sleeping next to.
Oh.
Nothing is accidental on this
yeah.
show.
No. Exactly.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
It really, I would actually urge people, like, once the show is done, to go back and start watching the pilot and the second episode and just watch some of the things that are mm-hmm. shot that make no sense if you do not know the end stories.
Oh.
Like, kind of like all the secrets
right.
that come uh-huh. up.
Right.
Because the cutting, the editing, the looks that happen, they're not meaningless. Every mm. look is in that show. It has a reason. It has a... Like, I remember even just watching the pilot before going into audition and then reading it after I knew what happened in the first season and coming back and watching it again. And I was like, oh, man. they show you. They just... I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, that's how I am with Homeland. I have to always go back and watch it from, like,
mm-hmm.
the beginning. And then
right.
you see everything. You're like, oh,
yeah.
how did I not see that? So I'm going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, why wouldn't you want to
exactly.
just watch it all over again?
Exactly.
As soon as it's over, go all the way back.
Well,
it's a good
renewed.
Binging show. Yeah.
It'll get
yeah.
renewed for season two.
For
and then
sure.
and then we'll all go watch the first season again leading up to season two.
Exactly.
That's always what happens on
there
this
we
thing.
Go.
Yes.
And
definitely.
Then every season you have more and more catch up to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to watch all of Game of Thrones again pretty soon,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I got to start on
that. That'll take you a long time.
Anyway, so.
Let's talk about Jay's mom, Julia.
Yep.
I guess, is there anything else we can add to that?
I mean,
he's looking. He's trying to decide, I guess, like what the relationship is. Like
mm-hmm.
he goes over to Baz's house. He sees
yeah.
pictures. He's really trying to dig and figure out who she was, why she's not there, all of that. Anything else on that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely,
so.
Like, and the way that Baz reacts when he's there, and he's
right.
like, this is my house, you can't just be coming to my house. I thought that was pretty interesting that he was so insensitive
yeah.
on a birthday. It's not like that's a secret. I mean, Julia's obviously somebody that it was in all of their lives, and they all knew Julia, and they all know that it's Pope's twin. So whatever his relationship was to her, the fact that he was just like, get out of my house, was surprising to me. I thought that I was a little taken aback by that. And granted,
right.
he was stressed because he's like, because he's like, Smurf's freezing me out. So
mm-hmm.
I guess that's really what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm struggling to figure out what the actual relationships are. I'm sure like we'll get that revealed to us pretty soon. But
right.
Most yeah. likely, yeah. I think he was pissed because he thought that he was going to be the one to take Jay under his wing. And now it's turning out to be Pope.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so anything can go bad for him. Like, they can all throw him under the bus next time, and then he's screwed, and he's technically not really family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he'll be the first one out, especially if she already hates Catherine.
Yeah. And he, like, begs her to please make things right. Yeah.
Like, that's his only in.
Yeah.
But do you think he does that? Do you think he does that because he wants them to get along and he wants what's best? Or do you think, I mean, because I feel like most of the characters on this show, the motivation is always self-serving.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's always.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely
so, you know, like, so there has to be a reason, I guess, why, and I'm trying to look at this from, like, the,
right.
You know, just
from somebody
like,
who doesn't know.
Wait, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening. But I, you know, I think that it's one of those things where it's like the relationships, except for moments where you glimpse into genuine relationships of Smurf with her kids or right. brother on brother mm-hmm. or, like, the cemetery. Like, except for those moments where you glimpse those normal relationships, you can pretty much guarantee that they're just going to do things for their own benefit. Mm-hmm. Right. It just might have, like, two or three layers. Right. So it's like, I'm doing this now, but really what I'm doing underneath is I'm trying to pit this person against you. Or mm-hmm. I think that that's the underlying theme when it comes to... Especially, I think, with Baz, you get to see more and more of that because he comes across as such a nice guy at first right. or, like, right. the normal mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, right, right. Agreed. I mean, it definitely seems like the only one that is two steps ahead all the time is Smurf. She's the one right. that seems to have, like, the real, like, if she's doing something, I mean, it is maybe in self-interest, but it's, like, it always feels like she's playing the long game. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do I feel like you're getting exactly what you think you're getting in the scene
yeah.
with her.
Exactly. And, I mean, she shows that with the whole drill.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Cut that
poor
shit.
Poor things.
Right?
They're yeah. freaking out.
Yeah. I'd be freaking out, too, if I was
that. So I guess that's the safety word. So we hadn't seen that they actually had the, like, the backup safety word mm-hmm. actually built in, but they all react accordingly and get the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a surprisingly well-oiled machine, this family. Like, they've been doing it for a long time. I mean, have you seen their house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know?
Beautiful, like, yeah.
And they all have their own place on top of that.
Right.
And I don't know why. Like, every location is just amazing on this show. And
yeah.
you're like, how do they even make this much money? But it's definitely a well-oiled machine. Like, they're on it. Mm-hmm. They know if they have to get out.
They got stashes yeah. everywhere.
Seriously.
It's also weird that they all, but like then they all have no money. They're all struggling. Like,
right.
They,
that's
like,
what I don't get. Especially like Baz has that stash at his dad's place. Like,
yeah.
Why can't he kind of get into that when he needs the money to pay rent?
That's the backup money.
Maybe. That's
but,
his bank. His dad's little
yeah.
hideout.
Let's talk about his dad. His dad's gone. Missing.
Yeah. Disappeared,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I don't really understand. That's a relationship that I find confusing. Last week mm-hmm. he was like, why don't you just do it already, right?
Right.
So
meaning
he clearly,
to shoot. Yeah.
clearly hates his dad. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of hatred for him, or it's love hate or something like that. And he called this hospital expecting that, I guess this seems like this has happened before. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys think his dad is?
I don't even know.
Oh, look at that
probably.
Look.
She
just gave me
yeah,
a look.
She can't look anywhere.
She's
giving stuff away. I'm like,
she's just going to be like this.
I'm going to get sued by the network.
I just put a pair of glasses on you.
Yeah, exactly. Poker face.
I know, I know nothing, Jon Snow.
I don't know. Maybe he just got drunk and walked off.
I know.
That's just
somebody.
Simplistic.
You think somebody took him?
What if Smurf, I don't know, kidnapped him? I don't know. What, like something? Maybe.
But, like, what good,
blame
what
Smurf.
Good
always
is
blame Smurf.
He has
to,
yeah.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
He's kind of just, like, dead weight.
Yeah, he's totally dead weight.
They threw him off the
There's
plane,
nothing.
You guys. We didn't see it, but
yeah,
they
right?
threw him off
That's
the
plane.
There was
right.
one instance where you just see a body just flailing. That was him.
There was a scene somewhere.
That- yeah, I don't know. That was definitely a question mark. Mm-hmm. That one just sort of, they left that one hanging. But back to the whole, like, the drill mm-hmm. and all that, with the confession, we started to touch on that. So,
right.
So what do we think is going to happen now that Smurf knows what's actually happened? And Baz was pretty truthful, aside from being like, we sold this to Ren and made some money.
Right.
He outed everybody. Jay gets sat down at the end of the episode by Smurf mm-hmm. about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels like Smurf was like, I pretty much knew what was going on all along. I didn't know specifically, but now I really know what's going on. Does everybody get reprimanded? Like, how do you guys think things proceed next episode?
I think so. I mean, yeah. there's no way that you can pull one off on Smurf and not get reprimanded.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Jay.
Screw them over
exactly.
little by little.
Jay seems to have, like, a soft spot, maybe because he's new and he's
younger,
young
yeah.
and he doesn't really quite know the ways of the world,
their
world
and
yet.
She hasn't had him
exactly.
yet? She hasn't had him yet. Yeah. That's the other reason.
Yeah, exactly.
She has to warm him up a little bit.
He's still so shy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So I was like... No. It's always such an uncomfortable scene when she walks in on them naked.
Yeah. Well, except for Craig just being like running around the first episode naked. He's cool with it.
It's all good.
He was cool
He's been
it.
There for years. He's fine.
Yeah. He likes to be naked, apparently.
There's a website that somebody tweeted at me last week about the butts on Animal Kingdom.
There's a lot of butts. I was going to say.
Well, I mean, there's a full website for it?
There's like a full website, and they're rated on gratuity levels.
Oh, wow.
And if they make sense for the storyline, if they don't, if they... Surprisingly, so far, all of them do.
Okay.
There wasn't, like, a most gratuitous butt shot?
I mean, I would have thought it would have been, in that case, they would have probably picked Ren's shot when they were having sex. Mm-hmm. But they were like, no, because, you know, for every four guy butts, we finally get to see a girl
butt. True. A lot of male nudity on this show, you know? So far.
And normally it's the other way around.
Which is great.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
we're not complaining.
We're loving it.
Female nudity, too, that we've talked about this. They've pushed the female nudity in different ways they haven't pushed the male nudity. Because your character and Lucy both have had scenes that, like, feel like they show a lot for cable.
Yeah.
Right? It's, I mean,
there's a lot of boob.
Right? Like, yeah. Because both the times it's happened, we've all looked at each other like, did they really just show that? Or was it blurred and we didn't notice it? But I feel like they're just showing everything, right? That's what's happening?
Kind of seem like that.
I think they're cutting around what they can.
Yeah.
I obviously they can't show certain things.
Right.
So, I mean, I would say it's a safe bet that, you know, standards and practices comes in and says like, no, I actually don't think that you can have, you know, a nipple or whatever.
Yeah, right.
They're just kind of, those are blurred. We saw it today too with the stripper scene where like everything is, you know, where they play with the focus a lot. But I think that, you know, again, some of the nudity is always in context of, for the females at least, it's in how they relate to their partner. So it's you know, for Carolina, who plays Lucy, which is Baz's, I guess, girl down in Tijuana.
His mistress,
You know, it's the same thing. It's showing you that their relationship is very different from Baz and Kath.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because they're not showing you that with Kath. So I guess it's always very intentional. Same thing with Craig and Ren. I think that they show you that because they want to show you that the same way he is with jumping off planes and riding his motorcycle and surfing, that's how his relationship is. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like, they're upping the ante in that sense, and they're trying to make it. I don't know that they can actually get away with showing certain things.
Right. There wasn't any nipple, but there was like under boob and side boob. And
Which is,
I mean, it's definitely pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. It's like watching kind of HBO, I feel, or Showtime.
Doesn't really feel like it makes a whole lot of difference.
Honestly, it really doesn't.
It was more of one of those things where you're like, huh, like I just am not used to seeing this on TV. Should we talk about Darren a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Darren. He's got a lot going on with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't really get to see his love interest, but I can't wait to see
again. Next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like they're going to show us that next week. Yeah.
Exactly. And he just had a spat with Smurf.
Right.
Like, he really did.
He doesn't seem like... He seems the least capable and, that's a hard thing to say.
He seems
like the least capable of all of them to me. He seems like the one most likely to just like get himself into huge trouble. Actually, I guess Craig feels like he's totally
Craig is the mess up. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Darren thinks. You can tell he's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Craig just does.
No. Uh-huh. He just does a lot of coke, Craig.
That's his claim to fame.
But it does seem like Darren is maybe the one who is not as afraid of Smurf, or he's the one who's always instigating the, like, well, why are we doing this job? Or, like, when he came in, you know, I think on episode 2 or 3, the last one, where he was like, you know, my fingers, like, I got these scars. Like, he'll talk up to her. Like, talk back to her. Back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. I don't know why I have such a soft spot for Craig. I have such more a soft spot for Craig than Darren.
Makes two of us.
I don't know. I think I like Darren more than Craig.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have a soft spot for Darren.
Craig's got such a jolly laugh, I feel like. Maybe
you just like him because he's like the cool, tough guy. No?
I don't know about that. Darren just like seems like a big like... He's kind of a downer, and he just seems like, I don't know.
He's going through a little emo.
He's super emo. He's super emo.
What about the Craig-Darren relationship, which I think is amazing? Like, when they have scenes where they put them together.
Yeah, it is funny.
That banter that they have, when they talk to each other, I think that is really fun.
Yeah.
It is.
It's true. Yeah, it is really
they're
funny.
They're the other bromance.
It's less emo when that's they're together. True.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Because they are like they are like sort of the most like of the brothers. They're like the two that are kind of like the surfer, let's go have fun kind of guys in their own ways. Because Baz is like real serious.
So Pope's real serious.
Pope's just crazy serious.
Takes that to another level.
He's just like, let me smash this paintball gun.
He just doesn't sleep, sits on the end of his bed.
Stands outside by the pool naked. Yeah.
So what do you guys think he's doing with, like, bashing the old fireplace out there?
I don't know, maybe that's just like his way of getting his anger out.
That is something, I'm telling you.
It's just an emotional thing.
I don't think so.
That's him working out. That's him working out.
Like he's hiding something there?
There's something going on there, and I'll have to figure it out later.
You can't smash brick with a hammer, though, like only like right-handed all the time and expect that to be like an even workout. You'll just get like one side of your body all jacked and hurt your back, right? You'd have to try to be ambidextrous with your hammer and smash from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Another fun fact for everyone if you were planning on working out.
Exactly.
Like that.
Ben's giving out workout
too. Yeah, smash yourself with a hammer. Just
love it. All right. I think we covered everything pretty much, right?
I mean, there was that one interaction that I wrote down here that we didn't talk about, which is when Pope is talking to Jay, and he's like, the seven seals, and the first four were broken, the four horsemen, do you think we're the four horsemen? I thought that was all pretty interesting stuff. I don't know, there was a question like he's asking Jay, like, how are we bad people? Do you really think we're bad people? Kind of was that what I got? Is that what you guys got too?
Yeah, I kind of got that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know where it was going.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's something that's going to pop up later. I feel like it was a seed of some sort, but I didn't know where he was going with that.
I kind of saw it as like a foreshadow, because he mentioned the ones that lead up to the apocalypse. And I was like, it's probably, do you think that we kind of ruined this all and it's all about to go to complete waste?
Yeah,
like
maybe.
All these years.
Yeah, it could be. I guess the only other thing I wanted to touch on before the episode was over was just the way that Jay reacted to Smurf sitting him down at the end. He didn't seem particularly rattled by it. In fact, another thing Brandon self said, Jay also didn't seem too shaken up by her rant at the end, which is like definitely he seems pretty comfortable. Like, I think he knows that Smurf's like not really on the up and up. I think he can just kind of tell, like, a little bit, like, I knew my mom and she was a junkie, but like she was a good person, and you kind of act like she didn't exist, and there's something weird going on here, you're not telling me something. I think he knows Smurf's a little bit of a villain.
And he's
navigating through that. So I think he's a little more comfortable standing up to her because he doesn't feel like he owes her too much. But I mean, he was very willing to like get all the bags together, get in the truck, you know, Venezuela,
he doesn't want to get caught.
He wants to go to jail.
He's also experiencing it, I think, the way, and we talked about this earlier, like the way the audience would. Jay is the audience's perspective, where he's thrown into this really crazy environment and navigating these relationships as best he can, you know, and again, it's probably for a 16-year-old kid or a 17-year-old kid, it's very, that is normally easily manipulated, and he's coming out from this trauma, and it's appealing to suddenly be like, oh, I can make, you know, this much money and like doing this job and, you know, but he's still kind of the outsider.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so.
You know, even Nikki seems to be more easily immersed into this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Jay is still always kind of with the audience being like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, or, Nikki's getting totally sucked in.
Totally
sucked in. The brothel.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a good weed hookup, so.
That's a good scene.
So we're like, oh, yeah, totally.
I'm jealous. She should come to Ren.
Yeah, right?
Just saying.
All right, let's get into predictions.
All right, great.
Let's do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We have theme music.
Yes, and lights. So I already said my prediction. I think that it was Pope was hooking up with Julia, and that's why.
More incest.
Yeah.
I can't avoid it on this show. There's no happy endings for anything.
Yeah. There is not. They go there, definitely.
Going off of your prediction, light bulb just went off in my head. What if it turned out that Pope was actually Jay's dad?
That would be a whole nother level.
The bromance would just go so far.
Yeah, that'd be insane.
But like
that
an incest father?
Incest father.
Oh, God.
I don't think Jay would be as smart as he is.
Or
that's
as handsome.
True.
Or as handsome.
Yeah,
that'd
exactly.
be a weird thing.
It'd
yeah.
be, because twins, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you never know, I guess.
I'm sure it's happened, but yeah.
I don't know. Ooh. That was not my actual prediction, though, just going off of that. I... Oh, shoot, I had one and it totally left my brain. I think that Baz is going to just break down completely with everything that's going on with his dad, with losing the money, with Catherine. We're probably, I could see him being the character that kind of bounces out for a little while, maybe goes back with Lucy to Mexico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then things go down with the guys, he comes back and he's totally out of touch.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We have Andrea Gennaro here says, Sean Hattasey, who plays Pope, didn't ask me anything, and he says Pope is like that because of his past relationship with his mother or something of that sort.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that...
So then that makes...
Okay. They're connecting, yeah, more and more. I think that we're going to get some... Like, I think Jay and the teacher, I think we're definitely... We might even get, like the episode just, like, might even open with, like, Jay boning the teacher. In like a really like Ren Craig level scene. No, not that level.
No one is in Ren Craig's level. Right. Let's just establish
it's
that.
It's just shot for shot, and actually, Jay's like coke off the teacher's ass.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, no.
The principal walks in, right? In the classroom.
He was giving her the eye, like, you know.
I was surprised, too.
I think he's down.
Uh-huh. I think stuff's going to go down with the two of them next week.
BTF.
And I'm excited.
He likes the good girls want to go bad type of ladies. Yeah. So we officially know Jay's type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll start getting down at school. That'd be really great.
Nikki tries to join. Teacher kind of throws her.
I kind of feel like, though, she's the character that'll get involved, and it'll she'll see something or find out something she's not supposed to find out about because of it.
Ooh.
That's kind of, like, my real prediction is I think that he's going to – I don't think he's going to bring her around the house, actually, but I think that there's, like, a real chance that she'll find out something or see something, and she'll be a loose end, and he won't know, like, what to do, and – I don't know. That's my prediction.
That's a good one.
Awesome. I guess you can't really give predictions.
Oh, I already know.
I know. She knows.
I predict that... I don't know. I don't want to make
any.
There's no way that I can make a prediction and
right.
not. Yeah,
you're gonna get an email.
Not get in
like,
trouble.
Exactly. So
fair enough.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Solid predictions.
Yeah.
Solid predictions.
Love it. All right. Well, that wraps up this show for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. Feel free to continue the conversation in the YouTube comments. You can rate us on iTunes. And follow us on Twitter. Continue the conversation there. We love to see your tweets. We love to see your predictions. And all of you guys, where can we find you?
Hey guys, you can find me, again, Leslie Ambrose on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time, and Less with just one S.
And what about you, Christina?
You can find me on Twitter at Christina_Ochoa and on Instagram at Ochoa Christina.
There's no underscore in that one?
There's no underscore
it's
in that
so
one.
It's so confusing.
I know.
Did somebody else have your name?
Somebody else had my name by the time I joined. Too. Yeah.
I'm Ben Bateman Media. My name is Ben Bateman. And you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. And that's all. I don't have a Snapchat. I'll start one soon.
All right. Yeah. And I'm Alina Vision. You can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision. And that's Vision with two S's. Until next time, I'll see you later.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.